Now, after John was arrested, the gospel, according to Mark, doesn't do a whole lot of foreshadowing. Doesn't really build up a story a lot of the times. You get this moment where the first 13 verses of the whole book tells you that this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And then it talks about John the Baptist preaching about Jesus, well, about himself not being the Messiah, but the one who is coming is the one who will be the Messiah. And then he's baptizing Christ, and then Christ hearing from above his Father's voice saying, "You're my son." And then Jesus was chased out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. This all happens in 13 verses. And Jesus comes back, and the first thing we hear is, now after John was arrested. And we don't hear at this moment that there's a reason for it. I mean, a lot of things come later on, but I think for a lot of us, because you know, we've heard all four Gospels and we get to pick up pieces here and there, and a lot of us have been hearing these stories from little on, we sort of mash them together. And so when we hear in Mark's Gospel that John has been arrested, it's not that big of a surprise to us because we kind of know this story already. But for most scholars, it's a belief that Mark's gospel is the first of the four gospels we have. And so for many people, about 2,000 years ago, this might have been the first time they heard the good news. Some learned person who somehow got a copy of the good news is sitting there reading this to them. And of course, they're getting ran through the first, you know, bits of Jesus' ministry. And suddenly you get this, oh, and by the way, John's been arrested. And then they go on without anything else. And, you know, I'm sure they're sitting here going, but the thing is by this point, John's ministry, for the most part, has been stopped. You know, when we think of arrested, of course, you know, in this term, there is this idea of arrested as in, you know, brought into custody. But arrested also means for something to be stopped. And this is what John's been warning about. His ministry is now at an end. He's done his job. And now it's time for Jesus pick up the proverbial cross, and then later on, the literal cross, and take on the work of the Father. The Messiah has been announced. Now it's time for the Messiah to get to work. But the Messiah doesn't do this by himself. Now, it's kind of funny right now. We seem to be jumping back and forth. It's sort of like we hear about the baptism, then we hear about this is the good news, then we jumped ahead to Philip, now we're going back. But this is really the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is taking the show, as they say, on the road. And he's taking others with him. And from other readings, we get that some of these, especially we know from that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist, or at least he was a disciple of some sort. You know, he came out and listened to him. And we kind of get this idea that others of the original people who had become the apostles were those who listened to John. But at the same time, we don't quite know why when this Jesus shows up, they drop everything because he tells them to. Now, they were coming out and listening to John. They might have been their disciples. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like they've had to make any changes to their lives. Andrew may have been a disciple of the Baptist, but he was still going to work every day. But this changes everything. Jesus shows up and says, "Follow me." And they drop everything. And they go on this 3-year adventure with Jesus. And then, as we know, they continue on going other places throughout the world to proclaim the good news. And it makes you wonder what it was about Jesus that made them drop everything. I think a lot of times when we think of calling, we always think that the person who's being called is excited about it. But as, you know, we often hear from, like we're reading from Joseph today, or Jonah, when, you know, Jonah is never excited about being told to go to Nineveh. He argues all the time with Jesus, or with God. And then, not when he isn't arguing, he's complaining. Even when he shows up and the people listen to him and they repent and they change their ways, he complains because it was too easy. And you know, and that's the thing is being called doesn't always mean that it's something that you personally wanted to do. I have a feeling that many of the early disciples, the early apostles, when Jesus said, "Come follow," they probably wanted to just stay home. They wanted to get on with their work. They had lives already. And some of them had wives and other families. But there was something about being called that took them from their old way of life and brought them into this new ministry, this new life, this willingness to serve God. And they probably never understood, at least, why they followed Jesus at first. And I think about that because I often think about when I first got in the church and I started studying and looking at ministry from kind of this lay aspect. And I was at the same time looking about my own future education. It had never been something I wanted. Being a priest was not something on my list of things to do. In fact, when it started to dawn on me that this is what God was calling to me to do, when it was one of those things where, you know, one day you're listening to that still, you know, they always talk about that still, quiet voice. Mine was more like a loud, annoying nagging. I literally, you know, I remember one day I was sitting there and it dawned, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that you know, and there was other people that was saying, "Is this something you're called to?" And I remember one day in prayer at home. Actually, I wasn't even planning on praying at that time, but I was at home and I just basically, you know, started praying, and I just finally said to God, "You got to be kidding. This is not what I had planned for my life." And I'm not going to say that every moment of this, you know, adventure has been, you know, always filled with happiness. Sometimes it's been really difficult. Sometimes it's even been very painful. But I can't now imagine doing anything else with my life. Because I realize within, this is what God is calling me to do. Now, I think each and every one of us has that feeling that God is calling us. That's why we show up every week. That's why we teach Sunday school. That's why we worry about the upkeep of the building. This is why we go out and talk to others about our faith and our church. Sometimes it isn't because we have a real want to do it, but there's something within us that feels the need to do it. And in doing so, we find our true joy. We realize that this is what God has been wanting us to do. And our ministries are all going to be different, and they're going to change throughout our lives. And it's this being willing to open ourselves up to God. And at times, even though it seems totally like a ridiculous idea, inconvenient, saying yes. That doesn't mean we aren't like Jonah and maybe complain and be cranky about it. But we still say yes to God. And in doing so, we find a true and wonderful joy. And I often think about those early followers of Christ. I think of John. I think of Simon Peter. I think of Andrew. I think of James and all of them, Philip, who maybe at first there was a little excitement about going on the road, but realizing what this really meant, and then in the end realizing that they couldn't do anything else but say yes to God. So my brothers and sisters, I am encouraging you, think about your own lives and to listen to your own hearts. To think about what it is that God is calling you to do. How is God asking you to serve and proclaim the good news? What gifts have the Holy Spirit given you in God's work? What are you afraid of? Throughout our history, from the very beginning, before there was a church, we had people like John the Baptist saying yes. Even at the perils of their own lives. Most of us will probably not be asked to give our lives, at least the physical part of our lives, to God. But we are being called to give ourselves totally. So I encourage you, when you hear God's voice, to say yes. To realize that in following God, in opening our hearts to God, to become willing to become God's servants, we find our true joy. It may not always be filled with happiness, but in the end, there's always a lot of gratitude.